Well, there's chocolate, and there's chocolate. Only Wonka's makes your confidence skyrocket. Put your hand into your pocket, get yourself some Wonka chocolate.
Madam, just one kiss.
Yes, please.
You've never had chocolate like this.
Well, we're not talking about Wonka chocolate today, but we are talking about some wonderful chocolate. And with Valentine's Day coming up, there are going to be a lot of chocolates bought, offered, and eaten. I'm Jill Nadeau, and this is the Larry Mueller Show. We are very happy to have Daniel Herskovic with us today. Daniel is the owner and chocolatier at Mayana, right? I'm saying that right, Daniel?
Yes, you are. Mayana Chocolate.
Mayana Chocolate in Spooner. And he's going to share his passion for chocolate with us, and he'll explain the process of making those amazing treats. Do you have a favorite type of chocolate? What is it about that variety or the flavoring that makes it so special to you? Or maybe you have a chocolate memory you'd like to share? That'd be fun. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can always send an email to talk@wpr.org. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell me, what is a chocolatier and how is it different from a chocolate maker?
That's a great question. Well, I am a chocolatier and Mayana Chocolate, we are chocolatiers. A chocolatier makes chocolate covered confections. We use chocolate as an ingredient and as a main ingredient. Whereas a chocolate maker will harvest cocoa beans from the cocoa tree, and then they will roast the beans and process it into chocolate. So we work with chocolate makers so that we can operate our business, but we are chocolatiers. We make confections, and we cover them with chocolate.
You get the sweet end of it.
Definitely.
Well, tell us about Mayana Chocolate. What kind of treats do you guys offer up there?
Sure. Well, we have about 20 different products. We're most well-known for our candy bars. We make the best candy bars you've ever tasted. It all starts with our salted caramel, which we slow cook in copper kettles, and then we will pair them with some traditional recipes like an almond nougat for our space bar, or with some crunchy pretzels and peanut butter with caramel for our kitchen sink bar. We have a beautiful 9-piece box, which is perfect for Valentine's Day. We also have a 16-piece caramel collection that's really popular right now for Valentine's Day. We're going to blow your mind with the best chocolate treats you've ever tried.
And
we make them all in Spooner.
Right, Spooner, Wisconsin, north of Eau Claire.
Right.
How in the world did you find Spooner?
Great question. Well, my wife's parents live in Spooner. And way back around 2007, 2008, I was experimenting making chocolate in my Chicago apartment. And I had this dream of launching a chocolate company, and we would visit Spooner and spend time on the lake in the summer. We'd cross-country ski in the winter, and we had this idea, wouldn't this be a great place to live and launch a chocolate company? And so fast forward to 2013, I presented the idea to the Northwest Regional Planning Commission of Northwest Wisconsin, and we got a modest loan to relocate from Chicago to Spooner. We started off in a small workshop in Spooner in 2013, and we've since outgrown that quite a bit. We have about 10,000 square feet right now and 29 wonderful team members.
That is amazing. How long did that take you to build that up so fast?
Well, I started making chocolate way back in 2007, so it took me quite a while. It's been a very gradual process.
Okay.
And I would encourage a lot of entrepreneurs to take a gradual approach to launching a business. That way, things don't catch you off guard. So it's been a very organic, gradual growth all the way since 2007.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. We have a call from one of our listeners, Marlon in Madison. What comment would you like to make?
Oh, I like chocolate for a number of reasons. One is it's one of my favorite gifts to give. I also like specifically truffles. I like all of the different types of fillings that you can put inside the truffles. And I especially like when you, not only the inside of the truffles is amazing tasting, but they look good too, like a work of art.
Yes.
And then my second favorite way to eat chocolate is probably through brownies.
Okay, thanks, Marlon. Thanks for sharing that. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right, especially when it comes to your chocolates. They are beautiful. How do you come up with the design on each of those chocolates?
A lot of our designs now, we feature a color or an ingredient that we will sprinkle on or paint on to reflect what's on the inside. For example, our Mayan spice has some really nice gold coloring on the outside, and the gold reflects the Mayan culture. And then we have our salted caramel, our fleur de sel caramel. So we put a very obvious garnish on that. That's the fleur de sel from Brittany, France. And these days we keep it a little bit more simple,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we like it right now.
That kind of changes back and forth. I've seen a lot of changes in higher end chocolates, like what you do, as far as how they're decorated. Is there a trend?
Yeah.
Is there trends in that?
Yeah, there definitely is. Yeah, I would say that there are some parallels with creating chocolates in fashion. Back when I started around 2008. The designs on chocolate were very elaborate and very very elaborate, using a lot of colorings. And now these days, folks don't really want to have that much coloring in their food. So things have definitely toned down. So yes, I have seen a lot of trends with chocolate and with the designs and with the use of color, or deciding not to use color at all.
And this goes back a long way. I mean, I think that chocolate makers had like a little certain twist that they had on their small chocolates. So they all kind of looked a little different, right?
That's right. Yeah. Even in the book, Curious George and the Chocolate Factory, they talk about all the little swirls, like how does Curious George want to know how the chocolate makers got their swirls on chocolate? So
right.
Yes, that's long been a practice.
And for anyone who's seen the Lucy excerpt with Lucy making them, that probably would give you
episode.
yeah for sure, that's a great one. So before we go any further, where can people get your chocolates?
We're at a number of independent retailers all throughout the country. In Spooner, you can go to Northwind Book and Fiber, or to Economart, or to Trillium Home, and a few other retailers. In Metcalf's in Madison, you can find them. You can find them at Whole Foods Market. You can find our candy bars at Whole Foods Market throughout the country. Larry's Market in Milwaukee, El Morro Vineyard. So we're in probably about 1,000 stores right now.
That is amazing. Whole Foods in particular must have been pretty exciting for you.
Definitely. Yeah, that was a game changer for us.
Yeah, I would think so. So where do you source your chocolate from?
We like to use chocolate from Ecuador. We partner with República del Cacao. They are based in Ecuador. We also sometimes use some Belgian chocolate, but we are moving towards using chocolate from Ecuador. What I really love about it is that the cocoa beans are sourced in Ecuador, and they are processed and turned into chocolate all in Ecuador, using very ethical practices, very transparent and ethical practices. Traditionally, a lot of fine chocolate is grown in Africa. You can find excellent cocoa beans there as well. And then they are sent to Europe, like Belgium, France, or Switzerland. And then they're processed into chocolate. But I really love the way everything is done in Ecuador and to support a new venture out there.
Have you been able to visit at all to see the production?
Yes. Yes. I was in Ecuador in October, and I was blown away. It is such a beautiful country. And I went into the Amazon, saw the cocoa beans, harvested the cocoa beans. I tasted a cocoa bean right from the pod. It's amazing how it tastes. It tastes actually more like a mango or a passion fruit than chocolate as we know it. And then I went to the chocolate factory in Quito, Ecuador, and saw the beans roasted and then ground into chocolate. And then, of course, the chocolate makes its way to us in Spooner.
Wow, what a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I highly recommend Ecuador.
Okay, well, I'll put it on my bucket list. We had Richard Inciano give us a call, but he couldn't stay with us. And he's wondering if you can maybe talk about the heavy metals in chocolate that, you know, we heard some studies not too long ago.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I really cannot talk too much about that. I did see in our chocolate makers in Ecuador, they were measuring it. Through their instruments in Ecuador. But I can't really talk too much about that. I will say that chocolate is something you really can only eat very small quantities of anyway. So I would say eat other things in addition to chocolate.
What? Really? I'm very disappointed
in
that news.
Yes.
You're right. And I give a wonderfully big chocolate box to a friend for Christmas every year. And she eats one piece a day because she likes to, you know, to taste it like a fine wine, right? And that's the wonderful thing about great chocolate, isn't it?
Yes. Spend a little alone time with it.
Right, exactly. People might get sticker shock, right, if they're not used to buying really good chocolate. But there's a lot of work and care that goes into these craft chocolates, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say if you buy our chocolate, you're going to want to spend some time with it. Have a nice chocolate experience with it. Have some me time with it. If you're looking for something to munch on in the car while you're kind of stressed out, well, then there's nothing wrong with getting some other brands from the convenience store if you want to spend less money. But if you're willing to spend a little bit more money, definitely give yourself some extra time to enjoy it.
Those are very, very good words of advice, Daniel. We're talking to Daniel Herskovic. He is the owner and chocolatier at Mayana Chocolate in Spooner. If you've got a question or a comment about chocolate, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najel. We're going to continue to talk about the Valentine trifecta. At 11:45, we're going to talk about buying fine jewelry. And at 12:30, it's all about flowers. But right now, we're talking about chocolate. So let's talk about some of your combinations, Daniel, because you have some amazing combinations of flavors. What are some of your favorites?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel?
Well, our kitchen sink bar.
Okay.
That is our top seller. That has got our luscious salted caramel, and we top that with a mixture of peanut butter, crunchy pretzels, crisp rice, and dark chocolate. So if you're American, you probably love peanut butter and chocolate. So we want to explore that in every possible way. We also make another bar with peanut butter, and that's our Pride Bar, where we have a salted peanut caramel, and then we top that with a peanut butter nougat and dark chocolate. And I even got a few more ideas in the works of peanut butter and chocolate. I can't get enough of peanut butter and chocolate. Also, spices. So we make a bar called the Mayan Spice Bar, which has got ancho chili, cinnamon, and dark chocolate. And it's really wonderful if you love some spice. The combination of spice and dark chocolate is really wonderful.
My favorite.
Especially with the cinnamon and the heat. It's actually a classic combination, even though many people are only experiencing it for the first time. So I love chilies in dark chocolate. Coconut. I love coconut. If you are a coconut hater, we are going to change your mind about coconut with the coconut dream bar.
I am a chocolate hater. I'm a chocolate hater, Daniel, I think you're going to have to change my mind.
Chocolate hater or coconut hater?
Coconut hater, I'm sorry. Coconut hater, yeah.
We are going to change your mind.
Okay.
We are going to change it. You have to try our coconut dream bar. It's got crushed coconut cookies with white chocolate, and then we have some creamy coconut on top of that with our salted caramel, and we keep the texture of the coconut very fine, so that a lot of what folks don't like about coconut is that really stringy quality, that grassy quality. You're not going to find that in our coconut bars.
Okay. Well, we've got tons of calls here. Let's go to Christine in Bear Lake Township. Go ahead, Christine.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Christine. I've had my Anna, and I love it. But my question is, is it fair trade?
Oh, Daniel, is it fair trade?
Fair trade. I don't know the certifications exactly. The chocolate from Republica del Cacao, the company that we're partnering with right now, you can look them up. They are very transparent. They are a certified B Corp. So they might even be beyond fair trade. So my short answer is yes, our chocolate is very ethically sourced.
Okay, thanks for the call, Christine. Faith in Green Bay, what's your comment?
I just wanted to tell you the best recipe for eating a good dark chocolate is to have a glass of a red wine with it.
What kind of red wine do you like, Faith?
I don't have the names. It's just a sort of a medium dry.
Okay. Daniel, do you like to eat chocolate with red wine?
My favorite beverage with chocolate is coffee.
Ah.
I love coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee with dark chocolate. But yes, a lot of folks love red wine with chocolate. We have a number of wineries that carry our chocolate for that reason. We also have some distilleries that carry our chocolate, so whiskey or bourbon and chocolate go together really well. I really love coffee. I've even seen some pairings of certain white wines with more tropical chocolates, like chocolates that include passion fruit, do really well with some white wine too.
Right,
so there's all sorts of pairings.
That really sounds good. And I know the coffee, as you say, I've made a lot of recipes with chocolate, and coffee is always an ingredient to bring that flavor out. So, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love coffee and chocolate.
Thank you, Faith. Rachel in Verona, go right ahead.
Hello. Dan, I wanted to just thank you for making the wonderful product that you do. I have a small store, and I've been selling your chocolate for about 5 years. My customers love it. That layer of caramel in every single bar is just amazing. And I wanted, speaking of coffee, I wanted to mention that one of the bars that is most popular here is Coffee Break.
Oh, that's a great one.
It's wonderful. And I have a very good customer who buys it by the box of bars.
Okay.
She likes it so much. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that.
Rachel, what's the name of your shop?
Oh, the Ginkgo Tree in Verona, Wisconsin.
Okay, great. Excellent.
Thank you for your support.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Much appreciated. And Dale in Arkansas emailed us. He says that he just placed their first order of an assorted box. So,
great. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the fact that you do sell them on your website so people can get them shipped. How do you keep them in good shape?
It's an art form, shipping chocolate, and we do a really good job of that. Our shipping department, they artfully put together a shipment. We ship all year round. We even ship our chocolate to extremely hot places. We know every trick there is to ship chocolate. We'll ship to Arizona in the middle of the summer, and our chocolates will arrive pristine. So special thanks to our wonderful shipping department. In fact, I know I'm getting a lot of credit for Mayana Chocolate, but I want to point out that we've got 29 amazing people that are actually making the chocolate and doing an amazing job. It's definitely not just me. So special thanks to our wonderful team.
And shout out to your wife, too, because she does, like, the packaging, right, which is beautiful.
She definitely inspired that. She launched the company with me way back in our Chicago apartment, where we would pack chocolates on our dining room table. So, yes, I'm very grateful to Tamara for that.
And I heard that some of your first attempts were quite large.
That's right, yeah. I would make truffles, and they would end up being the size of golf balls. And they weren't quite right, so I knew I needed to study with the masters.
So where did you go to do that?
Well, I sought out opportunities to study with chocolatiers that were from France or from Switzerland or the best chocolatiers in the United States and Canada. I just tried to get as much information as I could. I learned a tremendous amount through books. This is around 2008. I would just find every book I could about chocolate. This is before YouTube. Now I have to say it's amazing what you can learn on YouTube.
Yes.
For any subject matter.
That's so true. And chocolate is tricky. Anyone who's ever tried to make even just their own truffles at home knows that it's temperamental. Talk about tempering chocolate and how that works.
Yeah, wow. Tempering chocolate, it is a complex thing to talk about. but all of the chocolate that we use to coat our chocolate bars or our chocolate truffles or chocolate bonbons, it's all tempered, meaning the chocolate has been stirred and cooled down to this very special temperature where all forces align and the chocolate is shiny and the chocolate snaps perfectly when it's cooled off. It's tricky to talk about, but it is actually less tricky to actually do. And chocolate is very temperamental. You need the right conditions for it, if the room that you're in is very hot, you will not get chocolate to cooperate. It's kind of like rolling out pie dough that's really warm. You're just not going to get it to work. So, yes, chocolate is temperamental.
Yeah, I think we've...
And I guess it's one of the reasons why I love it.
True. It's a challenge, right? I mean, we've seen all of those disasters on the Great British Bake Off, right, where people are trying to do chocolate in that hot tent. So what are the characteristics of a really good, high-quality chocolate? How do they differ from that that we, you know, buy for $1.50 at the grocery store?
Interesting. Yeah. I'd say you're going to get more depth out of really high quality chocolate. So just the depth of it. And it doesn't have to be dark chocolate. It can be milk chocolate and you can get this depth from it. So same with the caramel that you're going to experience that we make, you're going to experience more depth. And that's from the butter and the cream and the sugar all mingling for 2.5 hours in a copper kettle. So the end result, you're going to experience more depth of flavor. The cheaper stuff that you get in the convenience store, that stuff definitely tastes good. And that can be appropriate for certain times, but you're not going to get the depth out of it. You're going to get more of the sugar fix from that.
Right, right. And when you say depth, you like different flavor combinations and different mouthfeel, things like that?
Yeah, and some flavors that just linger a little longer.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about dark chocolate and milk chocolate, and you'd mentioned there's also white chocolate. I think I've heard of ruby chocolate, too. What are the differences between those?
Okay, ruby chocolate, that's a new discovery from a cocoa bean that when the chocolate was processed, it turned this pink ruby, this pink light ruby color. And the resulting taste, it's kind of like a white chocolate that's not very sweet. It has an acidic quality to it. It's not my favorite, but about white chocolate, I want to talk about white chocolate. A lot of folks will say, oh, white chocolate's not chocolate. I think that white chocolate has its place. We use the white chocolate in our Coconut Dream Bar. I think white chocolate and coconut are this amazing combination. White chocolate by itself can be kind of sweet. It's a little too sweet for me. But when you combine it with other ingredients, it can become really fantastic, like white chocolate and coconut, or white chocolate and passion fruit, or white chocolate and lemon are all really great combinations.
I just baked a cake that was white chocolate and lemon, and I agree with you 100%.
Sounds great.
Yummy.
Yeah.
All right. So you use mostly dark chocolate when you're coming up with your flavors?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All of our bonbons or we call them bonbons, other folks call them truffles, and all of our candy bars are all coated in dark chocolate. We just released a very small batch of toffee that's only available for the next few days, and that we have coated in milk chocolate. So if you're looking for milk chocolate, our milk chocolate toffee is available today. Yes, but otherwise, 95% of what we do is dark chocolate.
Okay. And toffee, you make the toffee yourself?
Yes.
Oh.
We make everything.
You make everything. Okay, great.
We make everything.
Now, you mentioned...
Our team makes everything.
You mentioned earlier that you use copper pots. Why is copper always associated with chocolate?
Well, it's more copper and candy making. Copper is this excellent conductor of heat. So it does not burn things as easily as, say, a stainless steel stockpot would. Stainless steel is also great for cooking, but there's going to be some parts of the pot that are hotter than others. There's going to be hot spots. Whereas in copper, the heat has been conducted very evenly. And so it's a wonderful conductor of heat.
And that makes sense because you don't want to have, you want a consistent temperature when you're working with confections, right?
Yes. With candy making, it is quite remarkable how 1 degree can make a big difference in the resulting product. So sometimes our caramel, if the caramel cooks for 1 degree longer than what we were aiming for, the caramel is going to come out a lot firmer. And if we don't cook it, if it becomes 1 degree less than what we were aiming for, the caramel is going to be a lot softer. So nailing the temperature is very critical.
There's a lot of chemistry involved, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yes, a lot of science.
Mm-hmm. So what, for those at home who are thinking, I really like to try to make my own, what's the best way to melt chocolate?
There's a few good ways how to melt chocolate. The microwave is a great way to melt chocolate. So get yourself a glass bowl and put the chocolate in there. And I would start off 30 seconds at a time and then stir the chocolate every 30 seconds until it's fully melted. Another great way to melt chocolate is the double boiler method. So get yourself like a saucepan and then put the chocolate in. I would put it in a stainless steel bowl and put that bowl over the pan of simmering water and then slowly stir the chocolate, and you want to keep stirring because chocolate will burn very easily. And then definitely don't put a bowl of chocolate over direct heat, like over a gas flame. You will burn it really fast.
And it will smell horrible. Not that I've ever done it.
It's amazing how horrible chocolate can smell when it is burnt.
Yes, that is so true. I use the microwave all the time, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Very fast, and you just keep stirring it in between. It's great. Where should people get their chocolate from if they're making their own candy?
There's a few things that you can do. If you are a really serious home cook that wants to explore tempering, then you can get some really good chocolate from Whole Foods. It's sold by our candy bars in Whole Foods in the specialty department. They'll sell some Calibo or Valrhona chocolate you can use. But if you don't want to go through the complicated process of tempering, you can use the lesser quality melts at like a cake supply store or the grocery store. We would never use that at Mayana, but that's if you don't want to go through the process of tempering.
And then there's a number of
places online where you can order high-quality chocolate. All of our chocolate is classified as couverture, and couverture has got a high percentage of cocoa butter, and it's the highest level of chocolate. So all of our chocolate is classified as couverture. So if you're really serious and you want to really explore chocolate, I would seek out couverture.
Okay. When we go and buy a bar, it has the percentage of cacao, would that be the correct term?
Yes.
In it? And
yes,
it varies all the way up to like 86, you know, down to 60. What is the difference between those types of chocolate?
That's a great question. The percentage really reflects how sweet the chocolate is going to be. So if the chocolate is 60%, if it's called 60%, that means that it's 60% cocoa liquor and cocoa butter. The other 40% is all sugar. So if you if you get a bar that's an 80%, that means that 20% is going to be sugar. So that 80% will be less sweet than the 60%. And milk chocolate will be more like 38%. And then white chocolate will be more like 31%. So the lower the number, the more sweet it is going to be. But with that said, the higher the number does not reflect the quality of the chocolate. So something can be 70 or 80% and still be low quality.
And sometimes it's so really... go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, so just all the percentage means is how sweet or not sweet it is. That is all it means.
And it also depends on where it comes from, too. I've had a chocolate in Hawaii that was really low in sugar, hardly any, and it was so good, and I was expecting it to be really bitter. And then others I've tried has been bitter. So you have to really test it, don't
you?
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
David in Black River Falls called, but he couldn't stay with us, and he was wondering if you're ever going to have a sugar-free bar for people who are diabetic.
That's a great question, and we've heard that request before. At this point, it will be a while before we're able to do that. We don't have the technology yet that allows us to make sugar-free confections just yet. But great question.
Okay, because it's not easy, obviously, when sugar is such an important part of chocolate, and it's science. So, yeah.
Well, yes.
Well, Daniel, I thank you so much for being with us today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
You bet. Daniel Herskovic is the owner and chocolatier at Mayana Chocolate in Spooner, and those chocolates are available in many stores. You can go to the website mayanachocolate.com for more information. Coming up next, we are going to talk about another fun thing at Valentine's Day, and that's jewelry. So stay with us. We will be right back.